BetOnline is your number one source for all summer sports this season, from Major League Baseball, golf, to the NBA and the NHL playoffs. All the latest stats, news, scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the odds and lines on everything, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Hey everybody, it's Rogelio Castillo here, and wanted to let you know that this week's episode was a little different than normal. So we did a live stream, so we were watching the game and commentating on it at the same time. So if you want to catch that, it's on our YouTube channel. Please subscribe to the Tiger Minor League Report. It's on the latest episode, the Week 10 recap. So that is about an hour of us watching the game from the fifth inning on and hanging out with people in our chat. So it's a new feature. It's going to be rolling out here and there. Without further ado, though, this is the minor league recap from Toledo all the way down to FSL action. But yeah, just wanted to let you know there's some parts in here that are related to YouTube. And I know we have a very loyal audio dedicated fan base. And first and foremost, thank you for listening to us and subscribing to us on iTunes, what have you. So, but without further ado, this is just the recap. And if you want to watch the first half, I just felt like the audio didn't make any sense unless you're watching the game along with us. So take it away, Pass Rogelio.
So going to Toledo, yeah, they Scranton came in, kicked him in the mouth a couple times, but they came back and bounced up well. Yeah, never got to a player of the week, 10 for 17. Just, again, hitting the ball pretty well, but the story still remains the same over the last couple weeks for week 10. That is Dylan Dingler, who continues to hit the ball very well, seeing the ball in terms of just striking out less. But that 350, it's the slugging percentage too, Chris, the OPS, but just be able to really, he's been seeing the ball amazingly well. And so that's a good sign for the Tigers, especially, I mean, you look at why the Tigers have Carson Kelly and Jake Rogers. Jake Rogers, they're both defensive metrics are outstanding. You want to have that up there. But, you know, Dingler, after a couple of years of just being in that weird spot where you're not sure what to get from him, he's knocking at the door pretty hard.
Yeah, I mean, it's a ton of hard contact. One of the things that, you know, we'd kind of with all this Malloy stuff, we were kind of digging into more of the batted ball data, swing and miss data, whiff rates down in Toledo. And Dingler is the number one player in Toledo in terms of contact in the zone. He's the lowest whiff rate in the zone. If pitchers are throwing the ball in the zone, he's hitting it, which is something that we've heard the Tigers are very, you know, that's a huge indicator for them. You know, you also have to pay attention to chase rate, and he's kind of middling there. But yeah, you don't want to make too much of it, but he feels like one of the players that's kind of breaking out now in the system. There are a handful of them. And you just, you know, if he keeps performing like this, I don't know. It'll be interesting because, you know, theoretically, I think Carson Kelly could play first base. I don't know if he has before. I have to look that up.
I don't think he has.
And Dingler could even, you know, Dingler played center field in college. He's been strictly a catcher, you know, in pro ball, but, I don't know. It would be interesting to see what they do there. If they just carry three catchers and, you know, we've seen, Hinch use both Kelly and, Kelly played one game as a third baseman in 2019. So no first base there, but I don't know. It's been a positive development, and it's good to see for a guy that felt like he was stuck in Erie forever, and it's now up to AAA and it's kind of matching a little bit. So good, nice.
So in terms of pitching too, the one thing that I wanted to point out was that you did a really Lyle Lockhart Jr. has adjusted pretty well in Toledo, but on the flip side of it, Ty Madden. That maddening thing, it's just one of those things where lefties are teeing off of them again, Chris.
You know, it's weird to me. You know, you see the national outlets and they often have Ty Madden as like a borderline top 100 prospect. And he feels like somebody you rank that high if you don't actually watch all the games, right? Like he'll have games where it looks good, but just too many where it looks really rough. And I don't know. Like, I think he'll figure some things out eventually, but the consistency is not there. And I mean, one of the things we talk about, the pitching depth in this system, you know, it is still solid, but you know, I think we kind of overblow a little bit how many of them actually project to be in the rotation. Like, there's rotation question marks about just about everybody outside of Jackson Jobe, to be honest. You know, Madden, Montero showed us some things. He needs to work deeper into games and improve the command a little bit. He's probably number two behind Jobe. And then, you know, Gibson Long showed it, but he's hurt. And then it's like Madden and Melton and Herter all have starter-ish traits, but also reliever-ish traits. And we don't really know what to make of Ham until he gets to higher levels. So I don't know. I'm still in my head kind of putting Madden in a bullpen in the future where he might excel, honestly, because I think he can just let loose and throw 97, 99 with a pretty good slider. But that's always a tough decision to make, right? Because he's a guy who can hold his velocity for most of the game and has multiple pitches, five pitches, but the strikes aren't there and the quality strikes aren't there.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, I mean, the depth is not what it was, but the ability for the Tigers to develop pitching, I mean, like we saw with Bobo Brisky or Inspector Bo Brisky here, but sorry, I had to play this. We had to play this. It was, I don't think you heard
it. I hear. Oh yeah, I hear it. Anyway, well, it seems kind of playing in the background, but
yeah.
Jay Fast has said Malloy can't hit anything off speed. Showed that tonight. He has no chance. I feel like maybe it's a bit early to make that declaration. We do have some concerns, but it is one game.
Yeah.
In the big leagues is very difficult. Colt Keith, who we've had more confidence in the hitting ability than just about anybody we've seen through the system, save maybe Riley Green. I think we all remember that he looked pretty rough for all of our April before having an awesome May. It takes time for guys to adjust. You have to give them a little bit of time before we declare that they have no chance.
Yeah, and real quick, too, about this, getting back to starting pitching, because I got distracted here with the Inspector Gadget theme. The biggest takeaway, like one of the things we were talking about, like throwing ideas off the wall, was having Brent Hurdler as a reliever because of his ability to get that swing and miss stuff. But, you know, a guy like Brian or like Sammons, for example, who kind of used kind of like not prospect necessarily, but org, it's quietly put up a pretty good season, too. And you can understand why the Tigers have interest in him a little bit. But what I noticed about Erie, and this is what Milton right now, Trey Milton's kind of struggling a little bit with consistency in Erie, is Will, like a guy like Wilco Hernandez, that guy kind of borderline has some stuff there, but does have the strikeout numbers to put him, you know, to put him over the top, if you will. But he's been pitching better as late. We'll get to Erie here in a second. But what I like about Toledo is guys like Wingetter and Sean Gunther, there's some stuff there that you can put them, like they're good patches. In other words, guys you can put in the bullpen for a stretch, and then they're good that you could probably maybe put them in there for a patch or like for a stretch or two, and then that's it. At least the Tigers have somewhat, I'm not saying all these guys are like, you know, these guys are going to be call up opportunity people, but I feel like they have enough depth there in the bullpen, and at least in the bullpen in Toledo, that if the Tigers do lose a pitcher, Brisky was a prime example of that tonight. Garrett Hill is still a little bit off though, because I think Hill is still struggling with just command. But
yeah, it's I don't know. Like I put Gunther and Wingetter in there for a reason, right below Lang and Miller, because, you know, Lang and Miller are the guys we've seen, and Miller's coming back, and Lang probably will come back eventually. But Wingetter and Gunther are two guys that we could see later in the year if the bullpen gets depleted. Gunther has, and they both had big league time, and they both could come up and probably get you a couple outs, but they're not guys you would project to stick in the bullpen long term. But like you said, there are a couple pieces there, and not even pieces, right? Just replacements if needed.
Replacement parts, you know, it's not an indictment that way, but like there's some, like even with Flores right now being out too, there's enough intrigue there that I still think he's going to be, I mean, I did not want to, I was so gung-ho about him being a starter, but more and more. It is what it is. I mean, he's probably looking like he's going to be a reliever.
Yeah, just hope he's healthy.
Yeah. That's all you can hope for. Let's go to Erie, who beat up on Richmond pretty well. They're in contention for the first half title to take on New Hampshire, the Fisher Cats, which are not one of the deeper Toronto Jays teams that have been there in a while. It seems like the Jays minor league system has been kind of as of late. But Haiwi, which I mentioned earlier, having a good season, continuing to be the catalyst for the Seawolves offense. Trey Cruz, again, the WRC plus, look at that. His main numbers are ridiculous. And Jake Holton's been suddenly, like, quietly him and, you know, him, it was funny, I was looking up stats. Him and Ben Malgeri have been some of the most consistent at bats in Erie. And Malgeri was, like, I think, in the top five in terms of batting average for the Tigers.
Yeah, he didn't have a great week this week, but, yeah, he's been, they are just kind of consistent, solid players. You know, meanwhile, like, you know, Chris Myers had one of the stranger weeks, you'll see. And if you see it there, the stats, 4 for 23. He had a double and 3 home runs. So all three or four of his hits were extra base hits, and they produced 8 runs batted in. And then he had 0 walks and 13 strikeouts. It was truly an all or nothing week. But yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. There's not a ton. We've talked about this a bunch, right? There's not a ton of like traditional prospects on Erie, but it's a quality team. You know, Mendoza is a huge pain in the butt at the top of the order. Workman went from being crazy hot to being kind of, you know, average. And then Cruz took over as being crazy hot. And Alfonso can get you. And there's just, yeah, like you said, Malgeri has improved his performance this year. Yeah, there's only a couple guys who are really continually struggle there. And so they're putting up runs, and the pitching has been solid. You know, Burhan has looked pretty good. He's had kind of up and down. One thing I mentioned here, and was watching that game kind of paying attention, is he looked like he was headed to his career high in strikeouts. He had 8 strikeouts through 3 innings the other day, and then it kind of fell apart the second time through the order. And I do project, I feel like Burhan's got a chance to be a reliever down the road. Another guy, but yeah, I mean, he's been pitching well. You mentioned Wilkel Hernandez. He's pitched well. They're doing all this without their ace, right? So it's been another kind of impressive performance from Gabe Alvarez's crew.
It's just a good job of him managing, by the way. No, Hale Nomo's contract was not eight out, or rather bought out, rather. Sorry, that was weird. That's a foul on my part. No. The Tigers were just too cheap to re-sign him. He wanted to come back after, I mean, he led the team. He had a really good year with the Tigers. I mean, he had a decent year with the Tigers, enough to where he was going to be a guy who could pitch and be an effective starter. It was the first time the Tigers actually got some luck at free agency in terms of starting pitching help, and they were too cheap to re-sign him for whatever reason, which I never understood why. And then he went and had a no-hitter next year in Boston. That was one of those things that really pissed me off, was just the lack of, sometimes it's just like, it's the same thing with Polanco. You went with Scott Sizemore because you wanted to be cheap. Get the hell out of here. Go ahead, Chris.
There was a question. Was it Deadly Ninja Bees? Who was it that was asking? Who is the How You Leak cop? I don't know. Does anybody jump out at you like, for a comp for How You Leak? You know, he's a shorter, kind of well built, well rounded second baseman. We talk about four, like,
I don't know.
The Penguin,
yeah, the Penguin.
It's what interesting. Like he's got the arm to play third base, but he kind of has to like really amp up to throw, and then that you saw him make a throwing error in person, because I think he just had to, you know, he just had to put his whole body into it. So I do think second base is the position for him. I don't know. I'm trying to think if anybody currently playing. Yeah, it's tough. Like I would project him to be like, you know,
I like the Wilmer Flores comp that Ray's put in there.
I could see Wilmer Flores type for sure. I was also thinking maybe like Tyro Estrada or whatever, but I don't think he's going to steal as many bases. I think he's like a guy who I could see him hitting, you know, 240, 260 with like 15 home runs and 10 steals and playing solid defense at second. Like it's a solid average regular, but I don't know if there's any player who comes to mind at the moment. And we've already seen people calling for him to get promoted, right? That's just, and we talk about that all the time. It's been a long running joke with us. You know, call him up. People have no real patience. They just want to see these guys come up. The Tigers themselves want to see players dominate right before they move up. And one of the things I actually put together, because Hayu Lee, second baseman, threw 47 games in Double A at age 21, kind of similar to Colt Keith last year. Hayu Lee right now, 274, 351, 478, 8 home runs, 10.4% walk rate, 19.9% K rate. That's a 133 WRC plus. That's very good. Colt Keith last year threw 47 games, 325, 398, 567, 10 home runs, 10% walk rate, 21.7% strikeout rate for a 162 WRC plus. So he was almost 30% better than how Yuli has been through 47 games. And the Tigers waited another couple weeks before they promoted Colt Keith. So I don't think we're in danger of how Yuli getting promoted anytime soon. But he's certainly been one of the more positive developments in the system through the first couple months.
We mentioned that earlier, Jay, about Torkelson. I don't say problematic in the clubhouse. I'm not going to say that. That's not. I mean, prima donna, a little stretch, but I mean, he doesn't want to talk about swing. He doesn't talk about the beat reporters. I've been there.
So, may I?
Go ahead.
May I get pedantic here for a moment?
You may get pedantic.
Okay. Prima donna is an Italian word. It's PRIMADONNA. Prima donna. Prima donna would be, I don't know, who's a singer before Madonna? That's more your territory.
Oh, right? Deborah Harry would be. Yeah.
Deborah Harry. She was prima donna.
Yes.
We get that. I don't think Torque is a prima donna. He might not want to change because he's had success for most of his life and it's tough to change. But that doesn't mean that he's not willing to learn. I don't know. Anyway, there's a pedantic corner over.
The one thing is that because the Athletic article is correct, because Cody and I have talked about this at softball a few times too. That is, it's not a prima donna. He just doesn't want to talk about a swing. Whether that makes him however the term is used, if that's, he's stubborn in his ways. I wrote about it too. He is stubborn in his ways. And the only way Chase Young gets on this team is if you put Colt Keith at first and put him at second. He's not ready to play third base. I'm sorry. I've watched enough to Little Mud Hens baseball to see him at third where he saw some long ways to go. So unless you want to put him in as a DH full-time or whatever the case is, there's right now Young can't be called up. I mean, they will, unless they make room for him.
Yeah, and Young's bat isn't ready either. Yeah. He's got more in-zone swing and miss than Malloy. He's one of the highest on the Toledo team right now, and he's struggling against breaking balls as well. So he's got some things to learn. They called up who they thought was most ready to come up. Yeah. And it's going to be a little while, I think, before we see anybody else.
So next up is the West Michigan Whitecaps, who had a really good week against Great Lakes, their rival, and they'll be traveling to South Bend. And after that, I think they're home the rest of the month, I believe. And Roberto Campos came down a little bit, but also he did get hit.
Yeah, and so, he missed. That was his first at bat of the game. I think he missed the next game. So only a handful of games, but certainly another guy who's showing a lot of positive signs so far this year.
Yeah, and whether you want to think it's either because he's repeating high A or not, but there's still the batted ball data suggests too. He's hitting the ball more in the air. He's cutting back on he's hitting more line drives. He's cut back on his ground balls, the ground ball side of things. So he's not, there's things that are doing well, and defensively he's doing better. The line of the week for me in West Michigan was Dylan Smith, who looked really good. Six innings of work, three innings, one run, three walks, and eight strikeouts. One of his most effective starts. And yeah, Jaden Hamm had a short start, and then it wasn't because of pitch issues, right, Chris?
No, I never heard. Maybe Dan Hasty could give us the inside scoop, or isn't supposed to. But I never heard what happened, why they took him out. They had somebody warming up while Hamm was finishing his third inning. And then he just, after his third inning, they had him, he just hung out in the dugout. They weren't looking at his shoulder or arm or anything like that. He seemed fine. So I don't know if there's some sort of innings limit per month that they were working on, or we'll have to dig into that more in the future. I think he's scheduled to pitch tomorrow in South Bend. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, I mean, he just continues to get out, and he's a guy that we do assume will get promoted relatively soon, but obviously that requires health and, you know, hitting whatever benchmarks they have set for him.
Yeah. They'll see what it'll be interesting to see if it's just a matter of maybe there's like what they did last year, for example, with Lyle Lockhart Jr. and Sawyer Gibson Long, when they set him aside and said, here's a new pitch we want you to learn before you go up to Double A. I mean, remember that was something that happened last year too. So maybe they were they're just like, okay, you hit your certain requirement of pitches, we'll get back to you. And before I forget this too, tomorrow is Say Cheese Night at Erie. And part of the promotion is they're introducing a flaming hot funnel cake.
Hmm.
So it is what it looks like is like it's
like flaming hot Cheetos.
Cheetos and jalapenos on top of a funnel cake. And it looks like butthole river of hot. Lava butthole coming out of your butt, whatever. Just looks like a digestive nightmare that I of my dreams.
Turn it to give it the old rectal sarlacc pit. I don't know. People like to eat hot Cheetos on everything for some reason. I'm not a big fan.
My son used to crunch. He took the flame hot Cheetos, put it on his ramen, and then would put sriracha. And then put it on there, and I was like, man, you know, this is ugh. So, So my buddy played on the 2018
Arizona State team.
Yeah, Arizona State team. Taylor Lane. He said he was an absolute prima donna. His words, just spelled correctly. So that's where the smoke there would be fire. Again, just looking at him in the locker room. If he doesn't want to talk about his swing, does it make him a prima donna? That will be, they'll just stay
off the Flickers building.
Yeah, they'll be off
the Flickers building. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe Torkelson does need an attitude adjustment of some capacity. Maybe hanging out in the Toledo locker room will do it. You would think that would have happened the last time he went to Toledo. I don't necessarily think it's that. I just sometimes guys just don't work out, right? Yeah. Like, you know, Mark Appel was his first overall pick, didn't work out. Henry Davis hasn't looked great so far. Sometimes it just doesn't happen. The 2020 draft, kind of a disaster all around. And that's what happens when you only get to scout for like 15 games.
Yeah. Absolutely, Chris. It's just one of those things. And again, let's move on, because there's the team that everybody's been talking about, we've been looking at quite a bit. And they were playing their arch rival Clearwater. They were able to get some action on them. And they, you know, Kevin McGonigal, just a beast. Just, the four walks, five strikeouts. The home run, the right, was a bomb. And outside of that, Chris, this is something that I want to keep continuing to pay attention to. The namesake, Rainer Castillo, continues to be one of the quietly having a really good year. We talked about it a few years ago, and he just then got injured, and then he just kind of disappeared for a little while. But he's on a revenge tour a little bit, and I don't know. He's been looking really good, and this is a Clearwater team that's got some really good prospects on it.
Yeah, no, Clearwater has Aiden Miller, who is arguably. He and McGonigal have been the two best players in the Florida State League so far this year. That Jordan Viers kid had just the biggest week. You know, he had the three home run game. I think he had multiple doubles. So they've got a good team. They got a bunch of big arms. George Klassen was a hard throwing guy who played at Minnesota, didn't throw enough strikes in college. And when you don't do that in college, you don't get to pitch much. But Philly has seemingly straightened him out, and he's upper 90s with a nasty slider. So it's a really good team. I believe that Clearwater leads in run differential, and Lakeland is right behind them. And honestly, you know, this was McGonigal basically carried the team this week. like there wasn't a ton of offense from the rest of the squad. You see there, you know, Jim Jarvis had a pretty good week. Clark had kind of a down week, but still managed to cause some havoc and get on base and stuff. But you know, McGonagall was just awesome. They couldn't get him out for a while. He was, everything he was hitting was hard. He did hit a ball 110 miles an hour. I talked about that. It was, but it was straight into the ground, so I didn't bother clipping it because I was like, well, that might be impressive, but it's, you know, it doesn't really do much for you. It was a single, but yeah, he was, you know, he's consistently putting up like 98 to 102 mile an hour line drives into the outfield and just barreling up everything. And looks like he's ready to move up. Honestly, like he wouldn't shock me if they pumped him up, but I do think that they want to give these guys that feeling of competing for something before they, you know, move him up to a new city and a new location and a host family and all that stuff.
Yeah, there's also the element too that now there's in the minor leagues, they're unionized too, so it goes across all the levels, and so there's a lot more to be with that going on too. So they get paid more a little bit, and so that all those little factors of like mentally help will go a long way, just help you play and focus better. And still no word about Christian Santana either, too.
No, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what happened there. Sean O'Toole mentions Kylie McDaniel was saying McGonagall was five through the system. Ben Badler of Baseball America is a huge McGonagall fan.
He was so, remember the podcast? He was pumped. Remember, it was
Everybody knew that he was going to hit. Like everybody, all he's ever done is hit. It's just kind of odd that, you know, it's one of those weird scouting things where you kind of outthink yourself and you go, oh, you know, he's kind of short, probably can't play shortstop. And meanwhile, you know, so far he looks absolutely fine at shortstop. Like he probably won't ever be the best shortstop on a big league team. But so far, the hands, the timing all look good. The range might be fringe average, but he's playing just fine there, and he's going to be an above-average second baseman, and he's going to hit, and he's going to steal bases, and he may hit for power because he's such a good hitter. So, yeah, it's a great pick. He's going to be a top 50 prospect most places before too long. So, really nice. I don't know if he could drink 100 beers on one flight like Wade Boggs, but we'll see. I mean, he certainly can't do it legally right now because he's 19. But and just to get back to Rainer Castillo before, and I don't know who else we wanted to talk about, but yeah, he was hurt. And then he started on the IL this year because he's 19 and he had some wisdom teeth removed. So you got to figure sometimes these guys are kids. He doesn't look like a 19-year-old.
No.
He's every bit of 6'5 and, I don't know, 250, 270. He's just enormous.
He's a grown man, dude.
And we've talked on this, and I don't want to harp on it forever, but it's just incredibly easy 95, 97 strikes. That's what, like, it'd be one thing if he was spraying the ball everywhere. He's just throwing tons of strikes with that mid-90s fastball. And the slider will occasionally flash above average. It's not terribly consistent right now, and there's a lot to like right there. He's got to find an off-speed pitch if he wants to continue starting at higher levels, I think, because, you know, it's a sinker and a four-seamer, but I think lefties will start to tee off on him in higher levels. And I don't know if he just doesn't have feel for a changeup. Maybe they have to add a splitter, but it's a lot of great building blocks there. He's holding that mid-90s velocity through five innings. And like I said, the strikes of a starter are there. So there's plenty of time to develop that off-speed pitch, but I do think it's going to have to come eventually.
One of the starts he had, and I'm glad Rays brings it up, is that sinker he was talking about, the 97-mile-an-hour sinker. There was, towards the end of his start, or towards the end of the start, he started getting more swings and misses. But that sinker was getting a lot of ground balls, easy ground balls on the left side of the infield. And he's been able to use that pitch effectively, pitch to contact, which you don't really see often. That where he was like, he knew exactly where he was going to place it in the bottom of the zone, and there was nothing, it just beat it right into the ground.
Yeah. And you know, I think it's a useful comparison to talk about him with the other 19-year-old pitchers in the complex league, you know, Paul Wilson and Blake Dickerson, who are struggling to throw strikes and pitching shorter stints. And Castillo just looks like the much better prospect to me right now. Maybe those other guys have a higher ceiling down the road, but yeah, I mean, I definitely think he's a guy that's, I would certainly have him. I did have him in my top 30 when we did our update, but I think, you know, the next update, I think everybody will.
Yeah. Yeah, it does look, I like that YouTube user said, because Steele looks like a, visually looks like a bigger Bartolo Colon.
And there was another, sorry, I don't want to derail things. There was another question How does Clark have so many RBIs? Yeah, YouTube user hits high and on the order, doesn't really hit for power. A lot of that has to do, I think Brandon touched on this. David Smith, he's been hitting at the bottom of the order, and he's got like a 20% walk rate. He's just always on base. he's hitting like 210, 215 or something like that, but he's always on base. And then, you know, Clark and, you know, he's Smith and McGonagall hitting ahead of you. You're going to have men on base, and Clark has a knack for bringing them home. He's, you know, he's striking out a little bit more than you'd like and not hitting for a ton of power, but he can put the ball in play, that's for sure.
Yeah. No doubt. And especially also, he's been going the opposite way a lot of it too, driving in runs. So as far as the FCL goes, there's a couple guys, we've talked about this recently, the in terms of like Framber Montoya, Nomar Vana, I really like Enrique Jimenez, even though just his numbers this week were kind of, I still like his frame as a catcher. The only person I haven't had a chance to watch him yet is Juan Hernandez.
Yeah, I haven't. I've seen him briefly in one of those, you know, Phillies things. He's, you know, one of the younger guys who came over this year. I couldn't tell you a whole lot about him right now. He kind of has been filling in. You know, he's not starting a bunch of games this year. They're kind of taking it slow with him. But he was another one of their, I think, fairly highly regarded international signings. Yeah, you mentioned Enrique Jimenez. I've been impressed with him as a receiver. The few times I've seen him, looks pretty polished as a catcher for an 18-year-old. You know, obviously there's always stuff to work on and probably framing and calling games and all that stuff. But so far, and he's a shorter kind of stocky guy that I don't project a ton of over the fence power, but he's got a pretty good double swing right now. And so he's one to keep an eye on. And yeah, Jay is asking, do you see anything you love in our rookie league? We've talked about this a couple times. Franyerber Montilla is getting rave reviews from people who've seen him down in Lakeland, like rave, top 10 in the system type reviews. Didn't have a great week this week, so who knows? Maybe somebody just saw him when he was on a heater. But he's a guy that I'm really eager to see come up to Lakeland at some point. And Anibal Salas is tooled up, but kind of in a probably more raw way. And then the pitching down there is interesting. Like we said, Paul Wilson has a couple good breaking balls, a decent changeup, can't locate his fastball to save his life right now, which is a little bit disappointing. You hope that they can get that ironed out at some point. And yeah, Dickerson's just kind of been up and down.
I was gonna say, you'd like to see some more swing and miss stuff too from the fastball, but it hasn't been there yet. It's been all breaking balls he's been swing and miss on, right? With Wilson,
yeah, pretty much. I mean, the fastball has some good tendencies. It's still a low 90s pitch, but it's got, you know, pretty good IVB on it. He just can't locate it very well right now. And hopefully they can get that ironed out, because there's a good stuff there otherwise. But I don't know, it's so early with these guys, 19-year-olds. That's what I'm just saying. Like, it's kind of stunning how many strikes Castillo is throwing compared to these other guys who were more highly touted on most prospect lists.
Yeah, and that's where, like, the draft pedigree and all that stuff comes into play, and you know, some of the international, and also because the Tigers have not really had much success with international pitchers at all. I mean, until recently, Adam Montero is the only starter that has come through in quite some time. I mean, take away Gregory Soto and all these things in terms of relievers. They had a big type, the big burly reliever type, and starter-wise, excuse me, they have not had success at all. So
yeah, it'd be nice, it'd be cool to have some of those guys come through. I don't know, like we talked before, I'm pretty generally pretty excited about the talent level in A-ball and the rookie level right now. There's a lot of interesting players down there, more so than I can recall in the last 10 years.
Yeah. But as far as, like, final question for the night, we're gonna answer one more question, then we're gonna get out of here, because we've been almost at it for again, thank you for tuning. If you've tuned in the whole entire time while watching the Tigers game and we were heading in the show, we appreciate it. In terms of Scott Harris, thoughts about Scott Harris, I mean, depending on if you're looking at it for a scouting standpoint, the jury's still out a little bit. I think that he's been able to, if you give a lot of credit to Ryan Garko for hiring the right personnel, give credit to Garko for getting people in, like, Gabe Rivas, who's done really one of the pitching coordinators, has done a really good job of setting guys aside and putting plans together and organizing the minors in a little bit. And there's a lot of that going on. I mean, Scott Harris has been able to let those guys do their job because they've been effective. And so, but yeah, I give more credit to in terms of setting those things up a little bit, and Ryan Garko should deserve some credit for that at least.
Yeah. I mean, I think the like you said, the jury's still out with Scott Harris, right? We've seen, you know, they acquired Justin Henry Molloy, still don't really know about him. They acquired Hau-Yu Lee. We're pretty positive about him, but it's still probably just an average ceiling. The Gregory Soto trade, you know, Matt Vierling looks good right now. It's been mixed bag otherwise. Mixed bag, not a mixed bag. Maytown and Sands are gone. And Vierling wasn't all that great last year. But, you know, we have one draft to go on. McGonigal looks awesome. Clark has shown a lot of promising things. At the same time, there was no reason they couldn't have taken Wyatt Langford and Kevin McGonigal either, right? Like, they saved some money and used that money on Paul Wilson and Carson Rucker and Andrew Dunford and a bunch of other guys. But they had enough to get Langford and McGonigal if they wanted to. They like Clark's ceiling, I think, more. And you see the building blocks of it right there. He looks like a dynamic future leadoff hitter. And he's kind of a swing tinkerer right now. I think he's making changes, and they've been for the better. But, I don't know. I want to see another draft. I want to see what they do in this upcoming draft. I liked the philosophical shift a great deal. Which was essentially they went from taking these kind of theoretically polished college players to a ton of younger guys in trusting their scouting and developing. And they targeted the hit tool, which is fine by me. So we'll see what they do in this upcoming draft. We'll be, as Raj said, we'll be digging into that a lot more in the upcoming weeks because it's getting close. So, but jury's still out, right? It's only been a year or two.
Jay, thank you for
thank you, Jay.
Yeah, number $9.99.
Exquisite.
Off the Frickers building.
And on that note, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. And so if you're listening to us at home, we're going to be splitting this into two things. So the first part of the podcast is definitely going to be more of a visual thing. So you listen to the minor league recap. If you're listening to the minor league recap, you can go to our YouTube channel. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, Tiger Minor League Report, and watch the live stream as we live stream during the Tigers game. And if you feel like doing a donation, like we did with the super chats or the donation, go to our PayPal link. That's going to be in the show description or on our website. And Thursday will be another episode of the Motor City Metric podcast. We'll bring Huper back in and recap the series with Texas. And so the draft show is coming up on July 14th, I want to say. July 14th. Yes. Night of the draft. And we'll be live streaming that as well. But go ahead, Chris.
We didn't even talk about it. This is, always fun to add this at the end of a two-hour show. I don't know if you saw what they're adding to the the skills competition.
Oh, I saw that. Futures game. We should live stream during that. That's a good idea.
Yeah, that would be fun. I don't know if people saw it, but they're going to have, it's kind of a more elaborate home run derby where they're going to have targets all over the field and reward players for showing that they can spray the ball. And it should be a lot of fun.
They've been doing that in Japan for a while. Is it Japan or Korea they've been doing that in for a while?
They used to do something like that in the Arizona Fall League too, where they'd have,
they also
had like hula hoops that they would throw in the infield and see if the guys could bunt it in there. I'm like, get out of here. I don't care about bunts.
Here's the, that was probably just some, on that. So thank you, everybody. We appreciate it. And we'll talk to you. If you're not going to watch us Thursday, watch us every Monday night during the Tigers game or starting at 9 o'clock. Brandon Day will be back with the next week. And you know what? Yeah, we got to listen to the White Sox game. We'll watch that afterwards. I'm sorry. Well, yeah, I meant to watch that and we just got sidetracked with some stuff. But I'll watch that afterwards. Thanks so much. Have a good night, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.